Welcome to Real Flix Reviews, like a book club for people hate reading. This month they're doing Grab Bag, so James picked the movie Kids. We also did episode one of Six Pilot. Feet Under. And we bring you movie news. This week we have Jonathan Charney, James Stevens, and Ryan Preston. And so here's the description of Kids, made in 1995. A day in the life of a group of teens as they travel around the city, skating, drinking, smoking, and deflowering virgins. And that's pretty much the entire movie-ish.
Yeah.
I want to start off.
Okay.
So I remember seeing this movie when I was a kid was a little, like, this was taboo. This was the movie that you could never tell your parents you ever saw.
You technically weren't a kid when this movie came out, John. You were 14.
Even in 14.
So you were the same age as most of the characters in this.
True. So when this movie came out, this is a movie, because I think it was an NC-17 originally.
Yes.
Rated R. This is a movie you could never tell your parents that you saw, even though it was with 14-year-olds.
Yeah, it was definitely something it was spoke about in hushed tones amongst friend circles.
Yeah.
You see, when I saw this as a kid, it's like, oh, this movie's awesome. I love this movie. I think I kind of grew out of this movie a little bit, kind of how I feel about Goonies, honestly. Because I went from as a kid thinking, oh, this is awesome, to damn, these are a bunch of foul mouth hooligans.
Well, actually, I think it was Telly got the part, because where they were filming in New York, they actually saw him skating and heard him cussing.
Mm-hmm.
And they figured this kid is perfect for this role of Telly because he's got a foul mouth and that's who he is.
Well, he kind of summed up the time and that cross section of youth, you know?
Yeah.
Oh, totally.
I want to jump into something, cause you brought up something about the NC-17 rating. This film, this is part of the trivia on IMDb, and I thought this was actually pretty interesting. The NC-17 rating was from the MPAA, and Clark discussed with the MPAA what he needed to cut out of the film to make it just rated R, and they told him that they didn't think he should cut out anything because they were thinking it was going to take away too much from the film.
I actually agree.
I think that's a really interesting thing that the MPAA came out and said, don't cut this out.
And I don't think you could cut anything out of this movie and actually not take away from the movie.
Well,
because it's a fairly cohesive movie.
They did for Britain, the part where Casper sleeps with Jenny, or what was her name again?
It was the first or second chick?
The blonde chick.
Okay.
I just said her name there. Yeah, Jeannie. Sorry. I said Jeannie, where he sleeps with her because they're in England, you cannot have a sex scene with a child present.
Mm-hmm.
So they couldn't play that scene over in England because of that.
Cut that out. See, I could see that because you could allude to that, because that doesn't really necessarily take away from the movie.
Yeah. I mean, you could allude to it, just cut out the whole sex scene where he's like, oh, it's me, Casper. It's me,
Casper. I think you'd have issues with the second sex scene, though. Because I think that's part of the, I think that's a little bit more important to the party.
Are you talking about where Telly has sex with the girl in the bedroom?
Yeah.
Oh.
See, I don't think you could take away that. I don't think you could remove that scene as much, because I think it shows to his lack of morality and his kind of doesn't care about the girl as much.
Yeah. But I want to jump in on something. I mean, this is definitely a timepiece film.
Oh, hell yeah.
I think that this sums up pretty much what it was to be a teenager in the 90s at this time. I mean, Ryan will jump on board with me. This is pretty much every day of our summer and pretty much 4 or 5 days out of our school year.
Yeah, looking back on it, it's kind of disturbing how much of this movie I related to.
Yeah, I mean, the kids, you may be thinking those young kids that were there smoking and drinking, maybe, you know, just kind of not normal. No, that was normal. That was literally normal. I was one of those kids.
I would honestly say I think that was pretty normal for almost every generation at some point, except maybe the kids today.
I think it is still a little bit for today, well, like, but not what, as blatant because, I mean, the smoking thing has gone down. I mean, where she's smoking with her child and breastfeeding.
I would say the fact, at least the kids, because nowadays everything's on camera. When we were kids and young and older, you would get away with everything because, well, like, the, like for example, the store where you stole all the 40s, there was no cameras in like, quickie-style places.
Yeah, true.
Yeah, there's definitely a lot less we had to worry about back in the day, that's for sure. But I mean, but as far as the angst, all the hormones, the sex obsessed conversations, you know, the doing terrible shit without really knowing why necessarily.
Yeah.
Just because it was kind of the thing to do, it was what you sort of grew up around. These kids were definitely products of their environment.
Yeah, especially being New York City too.
Yeah, well, this transfers over to the West
Coast. You're sort of raised by your friends, you know?
And this is a little bit of a sidebar. I completely forgot Rosario Dawson was in this movie.
This was, I think, one of her first roles, actually.
Yeah, I mean, because that was kind of like, I saw that the first scene when they were talking about, you know, having sex. I'm like, holy crap. I had, like, wow, this is a very, like, that really shocked me. It's like, I completely forgot she was in this movie.
Yeah. Now, the other thing I wanted to bring up, I mean, like, this is, like, if you look at how the 90s were at this time, I mean, now it kind of seems commonplace for everybody to be using condoms and knows about AIDS and all this shit. No, this is, like, on TV. There are movies at the time where Magic Johnson was before the movie talking about AIDS and how easy it was to get. I mean, you still had the commercial, this is your brain, this is your brain on drugs crap. You know, and I mean...
Yeah, for never worked, by the way. Thanks.
Yeah, for...
Nancy Drake.
Yeah. But, I mean, the conversations at the parties, that was so amazingly spot on. And one of the things that they say is that there was an extra that was interviewed after this film, and they said that all the party scenes were unscripted. And what they did was they just let the kids be the kids, and they started smoking and drinking and doing drugs while they were on film, and they just filmed it.
Oh, yeah. I mean,
that, like, really sums it up of, like, how it was at the time. Because, I mean, I swear I've had those conversations at parties.
And you couldn't script anything like that because, especially that time, nobody really knew what a kid would do. I mean, it's not like kids really talk to adults. I would add about, especially about the AIDS conversation, back in the early 90s, like mid-90s, even in 95, it was very big, like James said, to have characters with AIDS. There was a particular TV show. That was the first TV show I remember had a recurring character that had AIDS.
Which one was that?
Oh,
I don't remember.
I don't. All I remember is there was a character named Corky that had.
I know what you're talking about now.
That he was an ancillary character, but he had AIDS.
Yeah.
And it was one of the very few TV shows that did, and it was even for the time. It was a little risque. So this is just want to let you know, as far as the era this was in, because this was. Really big for the time, especially with a kids movie and discussing sex and AIDS. And this was a pretty heavy movie for the time.
I wanted to throw out, because there may be people watching this film now that are younger generation. There was no law enforced curfew. Let's put that out there. There was no law enforced curfew until later on when they came up with the 10 o'clock curfew. Wasn't that like 98 or something
like that? Life Goes On.
Like
Thank
that,
you.
Yeah.
Life Goes On.
There's a TV show I was talking about.
I mean, under 12, Ryan would back me up on this. I don't think John lived in an area where they could really enforce this, but when you're under 12, the street lights come on, you come home. After 13 or 14, it's game on. You know?
See, like a little background on James and Ryan. Ryan lives near or in Los Angeles. James is from Los Angeles.
Yeah, I lived down there when I was younger.
I grew up in the middle of nowhere, so the only thing you had to worry about was bear attacks and mountain lions.
Yeah.
So there's a little bit of cultural difference here in growing up.
Yeah, so, I mean, but, you know, I mean, even the skater fights, I remember getting in some of those back in the day. But we didn't do the whole everybody beats on one dude thing. That must be an East Coast thing. Pansies.
So I got to say, for me, this movie didn't speak as true to me as it definitely did for Ryan and James. One of the reasons why, like, we're a little late in doing this episode is because, honestly, Ryan and James were the most important part of this show. Because for me, I'm coming out as an outside ancillary, pretty much an ancillary character in this episode.
Yeah.
But no, part of this is totally speaks to, especially the drinking and all the conversations. To me, that was spot on for when I can remember was the crap people would say and the sex talk and.
Yeah, like talking. I swear that one kid that they were talking to in the kitchen in that one scene, when they're like, "What's your favorite position? You ever had a girl do this and that?" And the kid he's probably like 12, 13. I mean, you're probably thinking the guy hasn't had sex. He probably actually has, because I did at that age.
And that's on record.
James, did you kind of get the feeling watching this man? Like I wonder how much of this like your average 14-year-old would find quaint.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, today, now?
You know what I mean? Like, it's weird, because obviously everything evolves, and the feelings are the same, but obviously the times have changed.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, to us back then, I mean, you know, well, when, I remember when I was a kid before I ever saw this movie. Let's see, when was this movie made?
95.
I was 14.
Okay, so I was 10, right?
Yeah.
By the time I got to junior high, this was one of those, like I said before, I mean, spoke about it in hushed tones, like, oh, shit, you ever saw that movie, kids? You know, and by the time I saw it, you know, 2, 3, 4 years later, I was like, oh, shit, this is like my life.
I would say for kids, this is the black curtain. This is the movie that you hand under the table, because if your parents catch you with this, you're fucked.
But, I mean, to me... The girl that wrote it, I guess she wrote it when she just turned 18.
It was a guy.
It was a guy. That's right. It was Harmon.
Yeah, whatever.
Harmony. His name's Harmony.
Yeah, Harmony. Yeah, that's Harmony.
Why I said girl. I got
Harmony Korine.
Yeah,
but wrote the movie in '93.
Yeah, when he was like 18.
Yeah,
he just turned 18. I gotta say, I mean, like, it's just like spot on as to what was going on. It's kind of a shock to me still. To how accurate this movie really is. So when I saw it the first time, it was like I was just laughing, because I'm like, dude, this is my life.
So I would say
but it's a cautionary tale if you really watch it.
Oh, no, totally. And
it absolutely is. I've known a few people who've said they were scared out of having sex by this movie. You know?
Yeah.
This movie overall is a very simple slice of life story, and it's not very complicated. All the characters are... fairly archetyped type characters. I mean, with all various degrees of differences.
Yeah.
The part about this that I thought was intriguing was how they jumped around so much.
Yeah.
Especially the beginning, how they, you know, jumped from the boys to girls.
Yeah. That was hilarious.
I don't remember, especially during the sex talk. I don't remember a lot of movies back in the '90s that did that particular switch as much.
No. No, they never did the comparison like that, except for there was a couple. I mean, like, to me, if you're thinking about the switch between the guys and the girls thing, I mean, the closest thing you really think of is West Side Story.
True. Or but even the jumping.
I mean, that's kind of a harder comparison.
Or though. Even the jumping to factions. You know, well, it's not that different. I mean, there's Bound by Honor. There's a few other movies that did it, but I don't remember it being as common. And the other thing about this movie, I think, was what was shocking is this... is but isn't a kids movie. I mean, this is starring kids, but this is more adult oriented movie, and watching this as an adult during the time, that must have been a mind screw, because you're thinking, wait a minute, has my kid done this?
I
feel bad for any parent who came across this movie in the late 90s. I really do. I mean, kids and adults can watch this movie and get freaked out about it, but for completely different reasons.
I would love to have Ryan's and my parents and James's parents watch this just to hear the reaction of it, because I already could tell you at least what my mom would say.
You're dead, John.
Wait, what did you make me watch? I was going to say, the other thing I remember being shocked about this movie was the tampon scene. Because at the time, I'm going, why would anybody do that? And even to this day, everybody goes... Even to today, everybody who's seen that movie, it's like, yeah, that fucking scene.
Yeah, that's one that always kind of sticks out in everyone's mind.
There's that. I mean, there's that.
And this movie is not devoid of its cringeworthy moments.
Yeah, I mean,
is there anybody else in the world who doesn't turn the sound off watching that opening scene?
Jeez,
I would say the other part that stands out is that black guy going through the subway going, I got no legs.
Yeah.
By the way, I've actually been out and about and had people say that. I'm going, I don't know whether to high five the person or go, you poor soul. I mean, because you're kind of on the line going, I wonder if I'm the only person who gets where that sick bastard got that from.
Yeah.
I do think you have to be of a certain bent, though, for this movie.
But I think, as far as I'm concerned, any kid who grew up as a preteen or teenager in the 90s who hasn't seen this film is missing out. Because it's really, like John said, it's a slice of life. It is exactly what it was at the time. I mean, there are things of the 90s that I miss. Like, I mean, you probably noticed no kid had a freaking cell phone.
No. If you did have a cell phone, you wouldn't show your friends.
Yeah. But, I mean, it was
no pagers, too. That's the thing that actually shocked me, is I was expecting some of these kids to have a pager.
No.
These kids are too broke for pagers, dog. Pagers were expensive back in the day.
Yeah, you had to be rich. I mean, they were up to a couple hundred bucks. You're going to spend
I don't know. I was expecting somebody to have a pager.
You're going
to
buy drugs.
Yeah, you were a drug or a doctor if you had a pager.
And as far as I'm concerned, a dime was not enough to get that crowd of kids stoned.
No
fucking way.
Just putting that out there. One blunt between everybody. And I guess there's a big debate as to whether or not that was actually pot that they put in there. I think it was.
I wouldn't be surprised.
Looked like weed to me.
Looked like weed to me.
So here's the question, James. This is the big moment since you picked this movie. What do you give it?
You know, for what it is, and I look at it now as a cautionary tale instead of something that I'm like, oh, that was my life. You know, I think for what it is, I think this is a spot-on movie. Could not be done any better by anybody else. I got to give it a 5 out of 5 because it is spot-on to what it was like to be a teenager in the 90s.
Ryan, what do you give it? Ryan. Mark calling Orson.
Did we lose you already, Ryan? I guess John's going. Oh, yeah, we lost him.
So I keep thinking of what I would give this movie. And
yeah, it's kind of hard,
James,
right?
Because I'll be completely honest. My first reaction was
4 or 3, right?
I was thinking 2.5. And here's my reason why. Because I definitely aged way, way out of this movie. I went from loving the movie as a kid, thinking, dude, awesome, to being a bunch of foul-mouthed hooligans. If these are my kids, you know, so...
But you were that kid. I know you at that time. You were a foul-mouthed bastard.
Well, I don't disagree. So this is kind of where this goes from my natural reaction and kind of my movie reviewer hat goes in. Because as a civilian, if you want to go that far, I would have given it a 2.5.
No, I get
it. But there's a couple of things that James brought my attention in. Is one, this is a slice of life. This is a part of time that will never repeat. Yep. It's kind of like watching Empire Records, for example. It's a part in history, at least my history, that will never go different. So for all that, as much as it pains me to do, I got to give this movie a 4 out of 5.
Wow.
Basic on the fact because... I don't think they could have done anything better explaining what it was like to be a kid. Yeah. I mean, part of this doesn't fit to me because I was never a city kid, but there are parts of this that are like, ooh, they should never have shown that. You're breaking the code.
Well, there was quite a bit of stuff in there that actually happened after I'd moved out of the city, though, I gotta say. I mean, it still was what life was like to be around teenagers of your own mindset at the time. Anyways.
Yeah. Ryan?
I've always kind of dug the day in the life kind of movie, you know what I mean? Yeah. Clerks, American Graffiti, that kind of shit. This one, it took it to a really real place.
Yeah. I would probably say it was one of the most real movies
at
that time.
Watching it. Sorry, what was that?
I would say this is probably one of the more real movies made. Like the actual slice of life that was like, this could have been reality television. Yeah. I mean, you know. Like true reality TV.
For getting that style of patter between dumbass young people down. I mean, that's not an easy thing to write.
No, that's why I think
it may sound simple and dumb, but that's clever, clever, good writing.
Yeah,
I think most of this movie was.
The casting was really good for $1.5 million, which this movie was. But
will it be classified as an indie movie back then, or was this a high budget?
Indie. I think we lost him again.
Ryan?
We keep losing you.
So what do you give this movie, Ryan? You keep going in and out a little bit.
Do, 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 do. Call him again.
Yeah. And where we're trying to call.
Yeah, we had to drop him and retry. It's kind of bad reception today, I guess, over there.
Yeah, somebody must be must be doing something, downloading a lot of bad stuff. And this is the part where the show gets boring because you're waiting for us to call somebody. Ryan?
Well, it's still connecting.
Problem is, I don't even hear Skype. So, while we're doing this, gonna let you know, we do have a Facebook page. You love us, hate us. You know, let us know on the Facebook page also if you think we suck. Write us hate mail that's creative more than, hey, why is John bouncing around? The fat guy sucks. It's pronounced Das Boot. Be creative, please. And just let you know, we do have an audio version of our show. You can catch us on Podbean, Stitcher, Google Play, and more.
Do it.
And so I guess what we're waiting.
I want to throw something out in regards to this movie still. I want to do it when Ryan was on, but I'm going to do it anyway since we have time. Side note, one of the best characters of the film, Casper, Justin Pierce, died in 2000 at age 25. It was apparently a suicide in the Bellagio in Vegas.
I remember hearing about that.
Yeah, I think I do remember it that long ago, but I just want to give a shout out because he was the only award given in this film was to him.
Really? Yeah. Ryan, are you there?
Yeah.
Ryan? Okay. So, what do you give this movie? You're breaking up, Ryan. Hello?
Nope, still.
Sorry, man, you're breaking up.
Yeah.
Oh, there
you lose me.
All right.
So what do you give it?
A 4.
Okay. So Ryan gives it a 4 out of 5. And so we're going a little bit of movie news, and I've got a couple.
I thought we needed to do 6 feet under.
Oh, yeah, you're right. So we're going to switch to 6 feet under. So a question for Ryan is, how much of this is true to life? Okay. So, James, what do you think?
You know, I like how random it is with the commercials.
Yes, I love the commercials. That's why I was hoping Ryan wasn't going to have any issues, because I'm wondering, is there like a mortician channel where they have all these random products that nobody knows about? Because this is like, because that's was my.
I think it's got to be.
Because that was my favorite thing about the movie RoboCop. Was all the strange product stuff they were having.
Yeah.
And I always wondered about this movie.
Oh, we got Ryan called. You mean the TV show?
Yeah, excuse me. So, Ryan, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
So, we're talking about 6 feet under, and my question before we lose you is, how much of this movie is, this TV show is true to life?
Remarkably, most of it.
So it's like this.
Seriously, take away the story and all of the technical shit, they kind of nailed.
Wow.
So it's kind of like funny. It's kind of like the Scrubs versions of the funeral industry.
Okay,
I have heard that Scrubs was pretty remarkably accurate.
It is. I've had quite a few hospital stays where I actually kind of get behind the scenes look. Yeah, it's pretty damn accurate.
You got to be pretty kooky, I think, to be in any industry.
And also, I know quite a few nurses in different wards, and they agree that Scrubs is pretty much spot on. Now, I brought up the commercials, Ryan. In 6 feet under. Now, John and I both had that same question. I mean, are there actually products that are like that out there?
Yes.
And do they have the same slogans?
There's probably 300 different embalming chemicals, and each one of them is to the specific embalmer's specifications and likes.
Huh.
You know, it's a real trial and error kind of thing.
Is
you
there?
Know, like with like with guns. I mean, anybody who owns one gun knows how much ammo, how much different the ammo gets for that one gun.
Yeah.
So, but the same thing is true, and they advertise not like commercials, but
damn.
You'll get stuff like, the number one rated body bag in America. You're like, really? Who gives a shit?
See, I want to see commercials for this stuff. Yeah. I want to hear like Bob's House of Embalming Fluids. We're great for you. You know, something just kooky and random.
The way that they actually advertise to the industry is like that. It's kind of funny.
That is pretty funny.
So I liked the TV show. Unfortunately, we're gonna have to talk about this pretty fast. Yeah. I thought it was pretty entertaining. I don't know if it was enough for me to switch to watching like the second or third episode. But this was it Michael C. Hall in this TV
yes.
show? He looked really young in this movie.
He was really young. This was the TV show. Excuse me. Oh, okay. This went on for 6 seasons, so this is like almost 8 years before Dexter.
I loved how the dad died.
Yeah.
I was like, hey, at least he doesn't have to leave the vehicle. He's ready for delivery.
I've often thought that was the way I was going to go.
Driving a hearse or a raper van.
Yeah. I mean, really the hearse specifically, because I felt that would be the most ironic.
It was actually the besides Fat Kid Rules the World, it was one of the greatest opening scenes ever. Hey, I'm not smoking. Thwap. And so we're going to switch off to the movie news just because I want to get at least this in. And this is probably the worst thing, in my opinion, known to man when it comes to movie news. Melissa McCarthy on Ghostbusters sequels. I would do 102 more of these movies. I don't want her ever to touch Ghostbusters ever again. I refuse to see it because if it's not the originals, it's not Ghostbusters.
My big issue is I finally saw a trailer for it. I've been trying to stay away from all the trailers of these things because it's just going to make me mad. And they finally had one in a movie I was watching. Don't bring the Pillsbury buried. Why would you do the Pillsbury Doughboy?
You mean the State Puff Marshmallow Man?
Yes. It's basically the same thing.
This is basically a reboot of a franchise. The thing I don't understand is...
Don't touch it. Don't do it.
Well, I don't get... Why is it strictly a female cast? Is it just to have a female cast? No, and this is honest. Why not do mixed cast? Why not... And see, the problem is, well, the original was comedy. I think it was very understated, very dry comedy, not over the top, almost to the point of being slapstick.
That's what they're trying to do. I'm trying to do slapstick in this because that's the comedy they do these days.
What do you think, Ryan?
Yeah, it's a lot more physical comedy than it used to be. The comedy was definitely in the one character, and then like all of these other dry characters. It seemed like Bill Murray's character in the first one was the only one that saw how ridiculously funny it all was. Yeah. Everyone else was playing it serious.
That's the part of the movie but, I liked.
Yeah, I mean, these days it's a lot more, you know, dick and fart.
Yeah.
I hate that with a passion. And if you're wondering why, we all kind of were kids in the 80s. We saw most of these movies in the theaters, and I hate the redoing Ghostbusters this way. Because I think if you're going to do it, in my opinion, it should have been done differently. I did hear some movie news, though. Something was the movie news or cartoon. That's right. They're going to be rebooting the Ghostbusters cartoon, and allegedly it's going to be set like in 2096 or sometime far in the future, based off the original movie franchise, not this new abortion of a movie. Ryan,
I got nothing. I don't watch current cartoons.
And
you see some of the new Batman animated that's come out. Don't lie.
No, I don't like the TV series. The new one's kind of weird. The Brave
I'm talking
and the
about
Bold
the
thing.
Movies,
yeah.
Well, to talk about the movies.
The DC movies are the shit, though.
So we're going to, because I'm not really sure if we're going to lose Ryan in the next bit or not, we're going to switch talking about this week's pick for him. So we'll see if he actually did his homework or not. Because, Ryan, you got a TV series and a movie to pick. So batter up.
I'm pretty sure we haven't done this. I did a cursory search of our past episodes. And since we hadn't, I figured it was pretty good and random and one of my most favorite fun movies of all time. 2010, Bruce Willis, Helen Mirren, Red.
Oh, all right. Nice. And what about a TV series?
TV series, I'm picking Community. Oh, that's right. Episode 23, I believe it is, of the first season. It's an episode called Modern Warfare. And this is the show in and of itself is like, if I'm sick for 3 or 4 days, I'm going through this show. It's one of my favorite shows of all time. Really, really quirky, but really, really funny and smartly written.
I have a feeling in my bones I may not like this movie TV series.
Oh, you may not, but it's basically it's for people who watch too much TV. That's who likes this show.
Interesting. So, ladies and gentlemen, I gave Kids a 4 to 5. James gave it a 5 out of 5. Ryan gave it a 4 to 5. We gave whatever the TV series, Six Feet Under. 6 Feet Under, apparently it's true to life, and you've at least got to watch the first episode. And we're doing Red.
Yep.
Along with what, James?
Community episode 23, Modern Warfare.
And as always, thank you for watching.
Goodbye.